Well, it is my privilege to introduce Dave Jones. Please welcome him. He's part of the central team, and he's a man who carries God's presence and his anointing and the glory of God. You will see that when he speaks. So thank you, Dave. It's great to have you with us. And Father, I just pray that your anointing will increase as he speaks your word, as he brings your word, Lord. Things will change, Lord, in our lives. We'll go away from this place, Lord, because your word has touched our hearts and our lives. And Lord, just anoint him all over again in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Oh. Good morning, everybody. God's so good, isn't he? Where's Scott? Scott, that was, guys, that was amazing worship. I just want to just honor you and just thank you for just honoring the presence of the Lord and for actually not giving us whiplash while we ascend the hill of the Lord, which some people do. Let's go this way, let's go this way, let's go this way. Actually, you took us on a journey, and it was just such a real precious time. And dude, you're increasing in your anointing. You're really growing in your ability as a worship leader. That was fantastic. That was really top draw. So thank you for that. My name's Dave Jones, everyone. And I love Jesus. Put your hand up if you love Jesus. You have to, really. I love the presence of our Lord. You know, let's just engage with God again. Let's not kind of like just switch so just readily just into, okay, now I'm just going to listen. You know, on the cross, Jesus restored mankind back to Eden state. You know, mankind was birthed for just unhindered relationship with God. And out of that place of intimacy and divine union with God, mankind was supposed to go and extend the government. He was to subdue creation, to extend the reign and the rule of Eden, which was on earth as it was in heaven. And from that place, you know, of intimacy, that's what was supposed to happen, but man fell. And then Jesus on the cross, he restored mankind into right standing with God. He tore the curtain in two, gave us access to the Holy of Holies. And so now we can walk once again in that Eden state. You know, and Jesus says, he says, you know, on the Son of Man, you'll see angels and ascending and descending. And now we are the body of Christ. We are the walking open heaven on whom the angels ascend and descend. They ascend once they've got their job done. They descend when they're bringing the things of heaven to earth. Whoa. Sukiarabasiya. So we're created as a body to be a living temple of the Holy Spirit. So let's just honor the presence of the Lord. He's in us and he's around us. Father, we love you. We just thank you that you met us this morning. Thank you that you're going to continue us to meet us this morning. We just thank you that you just lift off the heavy things. Father, you say all who are thirsty come to me and drink, and rivers of living water will flow from our innermost being. Oh, we just drink this morning from your presence. We drink from your life. We drink from your love. Right now, there's just some people in here, and you're just carrying some really heavy things. Just let the Lord just lift them off right now. Some people have believed lies about themselves. Some people think that, you know, they can't access the presence of God. And that's a lie. I just want to say there are no runts in the kingdom. Everyone gets a drink. Everyone gets nourished. Because God's no respecter of peoples. And we're all his kids. We're all co-heirs. We're all seated in the heavenlies. Ephesians 1:3 says we have every blessing in the spiritual realms. Every blessing in the heavenly places. So what we need is we just need the revelation of the keys to unlock the truth of what is already ours in the spirit. And the revelation is the Lord bringing truth and getting rid of the lies. Wow. About who we are and who he is. You know, all creation is groaning for the sons of God to be revealed. We see that with what's going on around the world. All creation is groaning to see the people of God rise up and to shine. Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for your light has come. We're to arise and shine. To be light bulbs for Jesus, Christ in us, the hope of glory. So creation knows who we are. God certainly knows who we are. The devil knows who we are. We just need to know who we are. We can't afford to believe lies about ourselves because it costs us, it costs the kingdom, and it costs everyone around us. Because what's going on inside yourself when you believe lies about yourself manifests around you. Does that make sense? You can tell what's going on with someone straight away when you meet them. You can tell what's going on the inside. You can tell if they're putting a front on. You can, because what's inside always comes out. Shikaraba siyadaba. So, that's, I don't know why I said that. I just got to a little flow. Anyway, Lord, we just love you. And we just give this morning to you. So this morning, I'm going to talk about intimacy. I felt like to talk about intimacy with the Lord. It's one of those kind of topics or one of those phrases that's thrown around all the time. Yeah, just be intimate with the Lord. The Lord wants intimacy. But what is intimacy? So I want to look at intimacy. And it's probably one of my favorite things in the whole world. And you know what? It's actually like the key. It's the answer to every single problem in life. But it's actually one of the hardest things to cultivate in our lives. It's like the thing which brings the greatest victory, but the thing which has the greatest kind of battle for it, if that makes sense, for our intimacy with the Lord. The dictionary says that the definition of intimacy is, listen to this, a close, everybody say close, familiar, everyone say familiar, and usually affectionate and loving personal relationship. Everyone say affectionate and loving. That's a cool definition, isn't it? So when the Lord wants intimacy with us, he wants a close, familiar, a usually affectionate and loving personal relationship with us. That's cool. That's really cool. You know, we are created for intimacy because God himself is intimate. Like, God himself is a triune being. He's three people in one. And God is the most intimate and honoring within himself. So Father is so intimate with Jesus. Jesus is so intimate with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is so they're all in this kind of divine dance of just mutual submission and honoring and just being intimate with one another. And out of that place of intimacy, the product of love is always fruit. So it's the same in a marriage. You know, we love each other, we're intimate, let's replicate that love, let's reproduce that love. Out of that, and we're made in that, that's why it happens, because we're made in his image. Out of this place of love, it's like, we love each other so much, let's produce something from this. Creation's born. And mankind is the head of that creation. And we're made in the image of God. We're made for divine union. We're made, as a father wants relationship with their kids, God wants relationship with us. And we're supposed to engage in that relationship. Whoa. So we're created for intimacy. And I believe that the intimacy has two main purposes. Intimacy number one, the purpose of intimacy is love. It's intimacy for intimacy's sake. You know, people like, I've heard some people say, what's the point of all this soaking? You know, in Christianity, it's just a bless me club, you know? But it's like, you know, God loves us. He just wants to be in relationship with us. You know? So, like, in my marriage with Chloe, my wife, I'm not like, what's the purpose of date night? It's like, you know, you love for love's sake. It's just, it is. That's what you have for to have a healthy relationship that's sustainable and that goes from glory to glory, that's ever increasing in its richness. Because you can be married, but not in love. And it's like that with the Lord. You can make your marriage vows. I'm going to commit to you for the rest of my life. Everything I have, I give to you. With my body, I honor you. You know? Blah-de-blah-de-blah. You make your marriage vows. You commit to it, but you're not actually in love. You fall out of love. And so you need to work out a relationship. It's the same, exactly the same with the Lord. We can give ourselves, we can give our lives to the Lord. Lord, I just commit to you, Father, I just give my life to you. Everything I have, I give to you. My finances, I give to you. With my body, I honor you. You know, I become one, I enter into divine union with you. But then you just fall out of love and you're in it out of discipline, out of obligation. It's the lowest form of discipleship. Everyone with me?
Yeah.
This heavy stuff? Is it good? Is it all right? Good. So, intimacy has two purposes. One, for the sake of intimacy itself. God is a he, above all things, he is love. Yeah, he's judge, but he's a loving judge. Like, love is the superseding principle. And for number two, the second purpose of intimacy is for the sake of government. Okay, the second purpose of intimacy is fruit. It's the fruit of the kingdom. So like I said, Adam, out of relationship with God, went to subdue the rest of creation, extend the government, the reign of Eden. And that is the purpose of intimacy with God for us. As a church, we're going after two things. We're going after love and power. And Jesus, he teaches, he demonstrates what that is. He goes around and he's just the most loving person. He loves his enemies even to death. And he demonstrates the power, the goodness of God. Love and power is only possible for on a sustained kind of amount of time with intimacy with God. That's the only way to sustain it. Love and power. So let me... let's turn to John. Alright, 14, verse 10. Everyone with me? Do you not believe, this is Jesus talking, and I just... This is like a really complicated thing that's going on, because like I've kind of been expressing, there's all these kind of, there's this complex Trinity relationship which we are drawn into, but it's very in and out of one another, and you kind of get a hint of it in these passages. Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. So Jesus is saying, out of this intimate relationship that I have with my Father through the Holy Spirit, that's where I get my resource from. It's not me who's speaking, it's the Father speaking. It comes from that place of him in me and I in him. Turn down to verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you, and I will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I love this. It's saying, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So, what are the commandments of God? Well, there's quite a few of the ones which Jesus talks about. I mean, but pretty much all of them are impossible. So he doesn't say pray for the sick. He says heal the sick. You know, he sets a standard for a completely sin-free existence. He says love your enemies. That's impossible to do consistently over your lifetime. So they're impossible things. It's also impossible to even love God, because you can't love God without him first loving us. It's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. So what you have kind of here basically, but he's saying, if you do these commandments, then you abide in my love. So it's those things which draw you into my love, but you can't do them without my love. Does that make sense? So it's kind of like this chicken and egg thing. It's like, here's the standard. It's completely impossible. You know, the way you do it is by loving me, by abiding in me. And by abiding me, you then do this. Does that make sense? But you can't even do this without abiding in me. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting, the kind of the way it works. But maybe it's like this. Maybe it's like a spiral that goes up and up and up, because it's ever increasing. It's glory to glory. Verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them in them is one who loves me. You know, what is, I love this, the greatest commandment is Jesus says, you know, you love me with everything you have and love your neighbor as yourself. So he who has my commandments and keeps them is one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and disclose myself to him. Verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him and he will come to him and make our abode with him. Okay, let's go down to John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. So if you let these things kind of get into you, if you, what is abiding? Abiding is taking time. It's taking time out. It's resting in. It's soaking in. It's absorbing. You know, that is abiding. It's leaning into. Those are things which abiding speak to me. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. So again, intimacy here is births fruit. Abiding in the vine basically just means drinking, because we're a branch that's on the vine. Does that make sense? So the job of the branch is just to drink the sap that comes from the vine, but the product of that is fruit. So in marriage, I want to say it again, intimacy, the product of intimacy and love in marriage is fruit. It's children. The product of intimacy with God is fruit. It's the kingdom. We're supposed to be fruitful, but it comes from intimacy. That is our resource. Okay, where were we? Abide in my love. If you can keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken so that your joy may be full in you, and that our joy and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved. That's cool, hey? So the next product of abiding should be joy and love. You know, God, I love the fact that joy is fruit number two of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, why is it that so many Christians look grumpy? We've got to be the happiest people on the planet, you know? It says in Hebrews that Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness above his brothers. That means he was a happy guy. He was good fun to be around. He's a desirable nations. Who desires grumpiness? I actually had a debate with a Christian youth worker the other day who was saying that Jesus is not attractive. He was saying, Jesus is not attractive. And I was like, that's not the Jesus I know. Okay. You know, so what is intimacy? It's taking time out with God. It's being marked by prayer. It's being marked by worship. It's being marked with thankfulness. It's the same with things which, you know, what is intimacy in a marriage? It's being close, familiar, affectionate, and loving. You know, these are the things which we cultivate, and there's different love languages. So, you know, in the natural, which is often marriage mirrors the spiritual. You know, there's touch, there's acts of service, there's time. You know, these things which make a relationship with work in the natural. It's the same with God, same with us and God. If you don't take time out in your busy schedule, you don't find ways to be aggressive in your schedule to just go and keep love alive with the Lord, go on dates with the Lord, go on walks with the Lord, you know, write letters to the Lord, you're not going to keep love alive. And you look at this way in the life of Jesus. He was always going away. He was always going away to the desert. Not to the desert. He was always going away by himself. And he'd come back and he'd be like, this is what we now need to do. And he went into the desert led by the Spirit, but came out of the desert full of the power of the Spirit. You know, and when the disciples said to him, when they couldn't cast the demon out of the epileptic boy or the boy with fits, you know, they was like, why can't we do this? Even though they were the most experienced miracle workers on the planet from the whole of human history at that time, he said, these kind only come out with prayer and fasting. So what am I kind of saying by this? I'm saying there's something about If we want to increase in the power of God that we walk in, it comes from cultivating a place of intimacy with God. Because that's where our source comes from. That's where the fruit comes from. Shikaraba. That's a good word. You know, so intimacy with God is not a girly thing. You know, by any means. You know, King David, he's such a warrior. He's such a man of war. And yet he is probably one of the most intimate men with the Lord. You know, his standards of intimacy with the Lord are, you know, very few lives kind of challenge that, even in New Testament times. You know, and something stirred the heart of God so much by his intimacy that in Revelation, you see, at the end of Revelation, you see God calling Jesus Son of David for the rest of eternity. So what stirred the heart of God so much that the God of the universe would call his Son, Son of David? It was intimacy. It was a heart that just longed for the Lord. And he didn't get all right, we all know that. But he was like, he just had a desire, like intimacy with the Lord and being in right relationship with God. You know, when you're just in that place and you know that you just have the peace of God, and you know that you're kind of, you just know in yourself, I'm close to the Lord at the moment. You can walk with your head high and you just know that you have something to bring to any situation. You know that, but you can know when the hand of the Lord is upon you, you know, and it comes from that place of intimacy. And you know when you lose that peace, when you're out of that place of intimacy with the Lord, and you just feel like you like a hypocrite. You don't have anything to bring to the table. Someone's like, "Hey, will you pray for me?" And you just feel like, "I can't pray for you right now." You know, I just don't feel that grace. You know, but David, you know, just whatever was going on with the kingdom, it seemed, whether or not like the kingdom, like not talking about the kingdom of God, I'm talking about his kingdom, the earthly kingdom, whether or not it was like going amazingly or terribly, whether or not he was, you know, in a place of rulership or a place of being chased. His primary kind of foundation stone was, what is going on with me and the Lord? You know, God, my heart, keep my heart pure, God. Keep me back in that place of your presence, Lord. You know, that was his heart's cry. And he was like, you know, I heard someone say that, you know, your approach to sin can be two ways. You can be like a pig in mud, which is basically like you take the pig out of the mud and they just run back in. They just love it. Or you can be like a lamb. Sometimes they get caught in the mud, but their desire is to get out of it. And that's what David was like, a lamb, you know, and we should be like lambs in that way. And when we get in the mud, our desire is to get out of it, not to get straight back in it once we're out. And, you know, God sees that wrestling, God sees that journey, you know. And that is that journey that gives you victory. It's that journey of the heart that gives you victory. It's like, I don't know where it says, James, one of the short New Testament letters, where it says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. There's something about that in there, isn't there? It's that kind of wrestling with stuff that just gives you that place of victory. So, you know, look at King David, look at Moses, look at Jesus, look at the life of Paul, look at every kind of saint who's walked in power over recent years, or the old ones, the people who got martyred. You know, though their lives were always marked by intimate relationship with God and being people who just loved God and were passionate about the things of God. So, my point made, it's not a girly thing. Doing alright for time. Alright, because I'm doing alright for time, I'm going to tell a little story about a vision I had. I haven't really shared it in many places at all. I've shared it in two places. And just the Lord began to kind of reveal to me some kind of things which were going on in the body of Christ, basically. And so I think it was probably about a year and a half ago. I was on holiday and I was just spending time with the Lord. I was just reading my Bible in my room by myself and just having a little pray. And then I got to the end of my time, probably spent about half an hour just with the Lord. And I felt like the Lord say, you can go now if you want, you know, that's cool. You know, go downstairs, hang out with your mates, that kind of thing. I just remember saying to the Lord, I went, you know what, Holy Spirit, I just want to spend more time with you. I just love you so much. And then in that moment, as I said that, like, I just kind of in my spirit and in my imagination, I was suddenly aware of three angels in my room. And the angel, when you're kind of aware of angels, like kind of in your spirit, or if you see an angel, the first thing you're supposed to say is like, you know, what's your name and then what's your purpose? And so I said, what are your names? And I immediately came into my head the three words, fear of the Lord, counsel, and might. So, and then I felt like the angel fear of the Lord come and minister to me on my bed. So I was sitting there, and suddenly I went, I like went into a vision as he put his hands on my shoulders. And in this vision, I just was kind of like, over the end of my bed was just kind of this crazy warfare battle scene that was going on. There was these kind of like fires, and then there was this like armies, and there was this light, and there was there was angels, there was demons, and I could see the body of Christ like kind of on this like war field basically. And most of them had their heads drudging around like this, like that, and they just weren't engaging in the battle, and they were kind of like this blue-purple colour. And there were certain people in the battle who were like, they were golden, they were wearing kind of shining armour, and they were kind of rising above things, but because they were the minority, it was so easy for them to kind of draw, like enemy attention to them. And I thought, that's so weird, what's going on? And then I felt like, and I was just like, whoa, it's just kind of crazy, I don't really understand it. And then I felt like the angel counsel come and minister me, and immediately I went right into the scene. I zoomed right into the scene, and I saw different scenes going on within the big scene. And the first scene were these they were these Christians. And they were doing this dance, basically. They were doing this dance, and what the dance was, never showing any other Christians their backs. So they only would ever show their fronts. That's what they were doing. They were going like this. Duh, 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 and they were all just showing each other their fronts. They would never kind of turn around. Because in their backs, there was enemy hooks in their backs. But they were all ashamed of the enemy hooks. What they didn't realize is that everyone else in the circle who's doing the dance, they all had hooks in their backs as well. And it was just completely ridiculous. And I felt like the Lord just saying, you know, I was going, what are the hooks, Lord? And I felt like the Lord saying, these are the things which kind of enemy strongholds can have in your life, but people are ashamed to kind of admit and to talk about. Even though everyone else kind of has similar stuff, and they're just caught in this kind of toxic dance kind of thing. And so the hooks kind of represent things like just anger issues, addiction issues, pornography, you know, other things like that, basically. And basically people were kind of stuck in this dance, and I was like, whoa, that's kind of crazy. The next scene where these people, and they were just standing there, there's this crazy battle going all around them, and they were just standing there with boxes on their heads. And they just look like absolute idiots, because there's these, like, you know, angels flying past, all that kind of stuff. And they were just standing there with boxes on their heads. And I went into the boxes, and one of the boxes was just full of library books. And it was like, it kind of represented the world of academia and intellectualism and cerebralism and stuff like that. There's nothing, obviously nothing wrong with that, but when you take it to an extreme, it becomes an idol. And the next box that was set on someone's head, it was just full of TV screens and media and like computer games and stuff like that. And then the next box that was in someone's head, was over someone's head, it was just full of sports screens, just football scores and all these kind of like different stuff. And I felt like the Lord was saying, you know, these are just distractions that are in people's lives, which are basically forcing them to completely be unaware of everything that's going on around them. And there were loads of other boxes, but they were just a few kind of that represent the principle of, you know, you can get absorbed in your little world, but not actually, and that will stop you from engaging in the much wider battle that's going on around and actually see the reality of the spiritual situation. The next scene was people who were standing on other people's shoulders, and they were basically pushing other people down, and they'd get higher and they'd go, hey, look at me, I'm high up, honor me, because I'm high up. The next scene were these people, and they had these little trophies, basically, these little kind of like golden trinkets, and they were polishing them with everything they had, and they were just trying to make them perfect, because they were scared that people were going to see them with the dirty trophy, basically. And then as soon as it would get clean, the enemy would flick a bit more mud onto it, and they'd be like, clean, 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 clean. And as soon as it would get clean, the enemy would flick a little bit more mud onto it. Is there anything else? So those are the main scenes. And then what happened is I looked up and I saw Jesus ride into the scene. And he was like, 20 times bigger than everyone else, and he was riding this white horse, and he was just radiating power and purity and light and might and strength and all like kind of the good things that we know Jesus does. And as he did that, his light went through the whole scene, and I lent a look to every single kind of problem again. And what happened is the people who were doing the dance with their hooks in their backs, what happened is they had to make a choice. They had to make a choice to become transparent. And what they did, they looked at the Lord, and as they gazed at him, they had to make, and then there was a choice, because some didn't do, like, make the choice, but some who did, I saw what happened. As they looked at the Lord, they made a choice to become transparent, and then his light just shone through them, and the hooks just fell out as that happened. As they entered into a place of honesty and transparency with the Lord and just let his light shine it through, the hooks just fell out. And then the dance changed into this weird dance where they'd only ever show each other their front. And everyone was just dancing and partying and going crazy. And it was just like, it was so good. It was just so free, you know? The next scene was the boxes on the heads. Again, it was a choice that people had to make. Some people, they saw the light down there and they took the box off their head. And as they looked up, and the Lord came to them as they gazed at him. He came to them and he just encountered them and he commissioned them to then go back into their box, that kind of sphere of influence, and influence the kingdom in that box. But the emphasis had changed. Does that make sense? The next people, what was the next people? People on other shoulders, as they were on one another's shoulders, going, honor me, honor me, the light just came and it just knocked them off. And the Lord, you know, because the Lord takes down the proud, but he lifts up the humble, you know, and he lifted up the downtrodden, and he took down the proud, and there was a leveling that takes place in his presence. That's what always happens in the presence of God. There's a leveling that takes place, you know. So that was cool. And then the people with the trophies, they had to make a choice again. Everyone has to make a choice in the presence of God. Isn't that funny? Never thought about that before. Apart from people who are honouring themselves. They just get taken out. they had to make a choice to give their trophy. And the trophy, I didn't say earlier, the trophy represents their area of ministry. It represents their business or the thing which the Lord has called them to do. And the reason they were polishing it is because they've got this fear of what people think. And it's kind of this spirit of perfection. I've got to be perfect. I've got to be perfect. What people think. And as soon as they'd almost get there, the enemy would flick more stuff onto it. And it'd be, oh, here we go again. Let's clean, let's clean, let's clean. And it's so tiring. As they then gave it to the Lord, they were like, Lord, I just give up. I give it to you. The Lord did a couple of things. The first thing he did was he said, here, have it back. And as he did that, it just became just like this radiant kind of nuclear, like, wah, 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 kind of thing. And it just became like ultraviolet. Not ultraviolet, but you know what I mean, kind of super shiny and super crazy. The second thing, the Lord said, when people gave it to him, they said, that's not right for you. Here, have something else. And then what happened is, people still went for excellence, but they went for excellence in their ministry, in their workplace, not out of a fear of what people would think, but out of just because my God is excellent, and I'm going for excellence, and I'm free to just to let the things which aren't right, he'll sort them out. You know? And it's supposed to this fear of, oh, what are people going to think? Oh, is the enemy going to inflict some more stuff on? They just gave it to him. And so I was kind of like praying, and that was just, I was praying about it, and I was like, wow, Lord, you know, Jesus, you're amazing. You know, when is this going to happen? And I felt like the Lord say so clearly to me, he went, you know what? This happens every day. This happens every meeting. When I ride in on my white horse by my Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus riding on a white horse. And then what happened is I zoomed out of the scene, as the Lord in the body of Christ began to address these issues and let the Lord come and address these issues, kind of things that's going on in people's hearts, mindsets that people have. What happened is the army changed from this kind of blue, purpley, kind of drudged, kind of sluggish army. They began to just become gold and kind of white, and they looked like their creator, they looked like Jesus and they began to rise up and actually engage in this battle and actually begin to win. Intimacy with the presence of Jesus is what we're created for. We're created for intimacy with the person of the Holy Spirit, who is the person of Jesus, who is the person of the Father. They are in each other. As we love on the Holy Spirit, as we let Him come and be our Savior, but also our Lord, and as we're obedient to Him and to what He's saying, that's when fruit happens. Because that's when we realize who we are, and that's when we rise up and be the people that God's called us to be. Amen. What else do I want to say? I was going to kind of like draw out a whole bunch of things which the Lord began to speak to me, similarities with kind of marriage and relationship with Him, but I kind of did that briefly earlier. One thing I'd like to say is that in marriage, you know, there's compromise and there's also a sharing of resources. And, you know, the Lord kind of, He's made the ultimate compromise with us in the fact that He came to earth and died on a cross. It's a pretty big compromise. And so, you know, I heard Chris Vallotton say the other day from Bethel Church that anything that we have to check with before saying yes to God probably counts as an idol. And so, you know, let's be prepared to compromise in our lives for God. Because, you know, in my marriage, when I compromise, yeah, it's kind of like a bit, whatever, but actually, you know, the richness of having, you know, a healthy marriage is so worth it. And it's the same with the Lord. When we compromise for the Lord, you know, He's already made the ultimate compromises for us. When we compromise, it's never really a compromise. The second thing is sharing of resources. You know, God's our Father has promised to provide so much stuff for us. And I really want to encourage everyone, if you're kind of, you know, if you really want to kind of deal with what's going on in your heart, attitude, areas of fear, or, you know, areas of lack of hunger for the Lord and things like that, I really want to encourage you to give financially. Give financially to the Lord, you know, and He, you know, the Lord will bless you. But that is so good for kind of addressing areas of like, oh, this is what I'm scared of. Because you put so much of your security in your heart. And where your treasure is, there your heart is also. So you want your heart to be going from the Lord, put your treasure there. You know, if you want to say, oh, God, you know, I want to go for You more. I'd say one of the keys to that is to give. Give financially. Increase your giving. Pray about your giving. Give more. God, I'm scared about giving more. What about this? What about this? Then let the Lord come and address those fears. That's what I'm saying. It draws out the fear. Draws out the nuances of what's going on in your heart. You know, I don't want to say this at all boastfully in any way, but financially, I am in a much better position than most of my peers. Now, I don't say this, please hear me, I don't say it in any way to boast, but over the years, like, I've really, really given, like, so much to the Lord, and the Lord has blessed me again and again and again with supernatural gifts, with crazy bargains coming in, with, you know, like, stupidly cheap house which I bought that now gone up like loads in value. You know, I was like, Lord, I really need a scooter. I just kind of prayed it one day because I needed a second mode of transport. Someone rang me up, bought me a scooter, the one I was asking for. You know, God's our provider, and He's, you know, He's no man's debtor. You can't outgive God. It's like the ultimate investment to sow into the kingdom. I really want to say it like as humbly as I can, but when you give financially, like, it's so good on so many levels. You know, the year I was going to get married, I in an offering, I had savings, and I gave away £2,000 the year I was going to get married in an offering, and the Lord bought me and my wife Chloe were real big fans of the program The OC. It's kind of a teen drama kind of thing based in Orange County, California, and Chloe entered a competition through kind of some clothing magazine where she had to answer a question and do that. As a result, for our honeymoon, we won a holiday, all expenses paid. We flew out first class on BA to Orange County, California, where we stayed in a five-star hotel. They paid for a surfing lesson, for meals out, for the hotel, for a hire car. You know, it's like you can't outgive God. I mean, that holiday must have been thousands. But like in that place, we're not, you know, it's like full on, like you are putting your neck on the line when you give to the Lord, and you recognize that He is actually God as you do that. Thank you, Father, for your provision. I just want to give some keys to intimacy, you know, just in the day to day of life. Okay. Number one, believe the truth. Simply believe the truth that you are His child, that God is real, that God is big, that He loves you, that you are co-heirs with Christ, you're fearfully and wonderfully made, you're seated in the heavenly places, that you are completely righteous in your core, you know, that you have the same access as everyone else. There are no, like I say, there are no runts in the kingdom. And it's not because of what you've done. It's all because of Him. It's because of Him. You know, He's our dad. He produced us. He just wants to love on us. Keep a check on your hunger levels. If you're not hungry. You know what? I want to be more hungry for God when I'm 90 years old than I am now. Our hunger for the Lord should be ever increasing, I believe. Because I believe what happens is you're hungry for God, and then God, He comes and imparts His presence to you, and you grow, you increase. Jesus increased with favor in God and in man. Sorry, with God and with man. So you grow, you get a little bit bigger, like a tree, you know. You get the sap, you get the the sun rays, you get the water, and you grow. But that therefore means that you need more to sustain you. So you're more hungry, and then you get fed, and you grow. And then you're more hungry, and you get fed, and you grow. We go from glory to glory. We get hungry and hungry and hungrier. But what are the things, the dynamics of when our hunger stops, when we find ourselves just being like, I don't really care anymore, you know? Why don't I care? I just, like, everyone else seems to be engaging, but it's like, not me. I'm just not really into you, God. For me, I think like there are some keys to getting back into a place of hunger and passion for the Lord. One is giving financially. And number two is letting the Lord love on you. Because it's the kindness of God that leads to repentance, and we love Him because He first loved us. And as you let the Lord love on you, and let the Lord begin to reveal truths about yourself and know who He is, and as you, in that place of love, when you find safety, you then actually, you know, you go and you just say, Lord, you know, you're honest and vulnerable with the Lord. You say, Lord, these are the things which I'm confused about. These are the things which I'm scared about. And you just open yourself up. The same as in a marriage. If there's not complete honest and vulnerability, then it's like there's things that are hidden, and then they become bigger and bigger elephants under the rug. Like a lamb, get out of the mud, get out of sin. Because as soon as we sin, it puts the roof back on. It puts the shame back on. Does that make sense? When you're walking in a sin-free, completely sin-free place, and you're just in right relationship with the Holy Spirit, you can just go up and down straight away, wherever you are. I just walk along singing songs to the Lord, just engaging with the presence of God. As soon as I've done something, as soon as I've thought something, which I know is out of line with what God says, if I just think something about someone, Holy Spirit goes, you know what, I don't really like what you said. You know, I immediately address that. You keep a short tab of the Lord. That's what David did. You keep a short tab of you. Father, I'm sorry. Forgive me of that. And then you're back in right standing with the Lord. You know it because, you know, the devil comes to condemn. So the devil heaps on all this guilt. It's like, you're not worthy, you're this, this, and this. And the Lord doesn't do that. He convicts, which is a much sharper thing. It's like the Lord convicts. He says, I don't like that. You're like, I'm sorry. And He's like, cool, it's done. It's dealt with. You know, there's the difference. And so you keep a short tab with the Lord. But if you don't do that, then what happens is the roof stays on. Do you understand what I mean by that? I'm talking kind of pictorial language. It's like you want to engage with the Lord, but you kind of feel guilty. And it's like, and it's like shame. And you don't feel worthy. But it's us, it's not Him. That's just what's going on in our heads. Because we're already in the Spirit, we're already there, we're seated with Him. We're grafted into that vine, and we can't be separated. Because our spirits have been reborn, our spirits have never sinned, but it's our mind that's being renewed. It's our mind that's coming into alignment with the Spirit. Like you say, Scott, it's supernatural, it's impossible. Okay, some of the keys to intimacy. Pencil in time. That's just a pragmatic thing. It's the same as in any relationship. You get out of a relationship what you put in, and the people that you're closest to in life are the people who you spend the most time with. It's exactly the same with the Lord. People who are closest to the Lord are the ones who spend loads of time with Him. And so find ways to for that to work for you. And for me, you know, there's the bit in Proverbs which talks about, I can't remember what it talks about. It talks about like the Lord, it's the glory of the Lord to conceal a matter, glory of kings to find it out. And I kind of feel like the Lord hides Himself sometimes for us to find Him for the sake of keeping love alive. So what that basically means is I'll go through a season and I'm reading the Bible. And in that season, just the Lord will be speaking to me so much. And I'm like, yeah, God, this is amazing. And then one day it will just dry up. And I'm kind of thinking like, God, like, why aren't you, you know, I'm really bored right now. I don't have a grace. I don't want to read the Bible for some reason. So then what I'll do is what I feel like the Lord's done to save me kind of getting just complacent about our relationship. He's sealed that off for a bit. And it's like, I'm over here. Come and find me. So I'll go for a walk, or I'll begin to engage in worship, or soak, or, you know, start writing letters. Try and find what is the season for me to now enter into. And so then, you know, I'll really go through a season where I'm just really engaging with the Lord in worship in the mornings, and that'll just realm will just begin to open up. But then what'll happen again is after a while, that'll be like, okay, I'm a bit bored of that now. I need to find something else. It's like, you know, it's exactly the same in relationships in the natural. In this realm, if you constantly just do the same thing again and again, you get bored. So you do something else, don't you? You do something else together. So worship, thankfulness, and honesty. You know, for me, like just keeping a thankful heart is so key. It's just when I'm like, oh God, where are you, or whatever. As soon as I begin to start thanking the Lord for the good things in my life, even if I'm going through an absolutely crap time, if I start thanking the Lord, just literally naming them, saying, this is what I'm thankful for, this is what I'm thankful for, this is what I'm thankful for, then immediately my spirit begins to rise and I can enter into a place of worship and mean it. And then as you worship, then it kind of, it just opens stuff up again. And it, you know, because the angels ascend and descend on worship. Yeah, and then so from that place, you then begin to grow from a kind of a bed, a foundation of worship. You can then build, and you can receive revelation, wisdom, all that kind of stuff. Rest in the Lord. You know, we're supposed to be Marys, not Marthas. It's one of the keys to intimacy, and it's the same in the natural. If you're always just doing stuff with someone, then your relationship is based on doing stuff together. But actually, like, the people who you're closest to are often the people who you just hang out with and rest. Every moment can be holy, as opposed to just going to church. Everyone knows that. But you just make a choice, you know, whether or not you're washing up, whether or not you're walking along, just to choose. This moment can be just as holy. Just to sing songs to the Lord, make up songs, you know. Engage with all members of the Trinity. So you can have times to engage with Father, times to engage with Son, times to engage with the Holy Spirit, and also write letters to the Lord. I wrote a letter to God this morning because it helps you figure out what's going on in your head. And then I let God write one back, but I'm the pen. Kind of like when people wrote the Bible, I guess. Thus says the Lord. Really? Well, yeah. Cool. So that's intimacy with God. Shall I just pray? Sorry to interrupt the clap. Yeah, Father, I just want to just thank you that you're not a distant God. You're not an angry God. You're a loving God who loves to draw close, and you're near. And Father, we just recognize that we're made in your image. We were made to be intimate with you, like a son or a daughter is made to be in relationship, in right relationship, in loving relationship with their parents. And Father, we as your kids, we just ask that you just forgive us for lies that we've believed about ourselves, lies that we've believed about you. And Father, we just give ourselves. We want to be a people of intimacy. We want to be a people who just walk with you, Father. We just thank you that you love us so much, and we just say we love you, and we just give our lives afresh to you this morning. We just say we give this week to you, and we just ask practically, Lord, that you just help us, show us kind of areas in our lives which need to be tweaked, you know, whether or not we're watching too much TV or we're spending too much time doing this, areas in our lives when we can just, which would be more helpful if they were giving to other things, Father. And Holy Spirit, we just ask that you just fill us up afresh. Just fill us up, Holy Spirit. Because life, you know, we recognize that life without you is so crazy, it's so stressful, it's so impossible. And you've called us to be people who cause impossibilities to bow to the name of Jesus. And so we just need you, impossible God, just to come and make your home in us. We just open up the throne in our hearts. In our minds, and just say, come and sit, come and reign, come and be king. Whoa. Just keep taking us from glory to glory, changing us more accurately into the image of Christ. Just work on our characters, soften our hearts, Lord. Give us strength. Amen.